And I saw the Lord. The Lord was there. He stood up. And this is where I couldn't sit still. The Lord stands up and the sun comes out. And it's raining at the same time. Have you ever experienced rain fall on you and the sun come out at the same time? I just, maybe it's the Lord would touch me in this, but there's something powerful about the heat of the sun beaming down on your face and the cool of the rain beaming down on your face simultaneously. So I saw the Lord stand up, and his arms were stretched out, and he was enjoying the fact that the rain was hitting on his face. So I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, why are we so concerned about the fire that has gone out when the Lord stands up and he praises the Father for the rain coming down from heaven? Amen? So wherever we are in our journey with the Lord, let us stand up with the Lord and let the rain trickle down our face. And let us not, as Father Mark has so affectionately and powerfully said in times past, let us remember what our bishop said. The reset button has been hit. That fire is out, guys, and it's raining.
Chris, I think I have a word for you. I feel like the Lord is saying that you either are or you're about to step into uncharted territory in your life. And he's saying that he's given you a battery pack. Battery pack, Lord, what does that mean? He's given you a supply of his power that you've yet to access. And he wants to encourage you that as you walk into this uncharted territory, two things. He's very much with you. Is to remind you of that, and that his power is with you. You will have all the power you need to go the distance. Amen.
Jean-Claude, I think I have a word for you too, brother. I was praying about you during the worship service, and I kept hearing the scripture that Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it stands alone. I think the Holy Spirit would say to you today, brother, I'm going to overstate the obvious, but you are surrounded. You are surrounded not only with this church, but you are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So there may be those times where you're by yourself and you're seemingly alone. You are not. By no stretch of the imagination, you are not alone. Amen?
Amen.
All right, brother.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I always like to come in and look up at the wall and see the light over the Eucharistic elements, because I know there's life in here. And it's my desire in my life that that light beyond that body and blood of Jesus, it would be known in me. I'll be 70 years old pretty quick, and I work in an environment that's real hard. I sling freight with a bunch of 18 and 20 year olds. And it's very wearying, it's tiring. But a lot of young people that I'm so much different than them in so many ways, they've opened their hearts to me and allowed me to be a friend to them. And one of these young men, he's just 18, his name's DeAndre. I want you to remember his name and pray for him. He was taking a class to become an electrician, and he didn't pass his final test, and so he left the program, and he was searching around for his future. And when I first started working there, DeAndre and a couple of his friends used to give me a hard time. And it was over the course of time, they've all mellowed a lot toward me and accepted me. And I appreciate that a lot. But I've noticed the last few days, DeAndre's been looking kind of grim. And he confided in me that he's starting a new job tomorrow. He's going to be working in the mines. And I gave him as much encouragement and advice yesterday, the last time I possibly will ever see him, just trying to give him hope for his life. But the Lord's put on my heart to pray for him, because the grimness is because he thinks he's going to go down into the mine someday and not come back up. There's a lot of people where I work that are in difficult circumstances in different aspects of their life, and Lord's really, in a good, very good way, beat me down to where I can actually be of value to other people in some minor way or another. But I meet a lot of DeAndres, and I continue to need prayer, as DeAndre does, just so that I can go and do my job there and make sure that my light's on. But please pray for DeAndre.
Let us take heed to the reading of the Holy Scriptures.
So, Gary, if you can get that baptism thing back up there, when you're able to do that. What I wanted to do was to say a couple of things in regards to the reading, and then have the baptism, and then say a couple of other things, and we'll see how that goes, to fit all this in, because what's going to happen for Jean-Claude is so amazing. So the first thing that I wanted to say before we have the baptism is, Jesus says in the gospel to the disciples, and so I'm pulling this one line out of context, but you just heard the gospel proclaimed. Jesus says, the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Can you say that back to me? The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. So if we were just to take that one line out for a spin, spend some time just with that one line, the Son of Man has come not to destroy persons' lives, men, women, children, old, young. He has not come to destroy men's lives. He's come to save them. Now, the presumption is I'm talking to the choir, and everyone here would say, I know that. I know that the Lord has not come to destroy our lives, but to save them. So what if we just take for a moment that idea that the Lord has come to save us? So, to save us from who, to save us from what? Is being saved a one-time thing? Is being saved something that happens over and over? Can being saved go deeper? Can understanding what means to be saved, are you able to appropriate a greater appreciation for what that means, what it means to be saved? In the Greek, the word is sozo, and to be sozoed, S-O-Z-O, is to be saved. But it's sort of like the word in Hebrew, shalom, peace. We take particular words in the English and we assign a definition to that word. And sometimes what we do in assigning a definition to a word is, without even realizing it, we may have added some baggage to it, or we may have really limited the scope of what it really entails. So I'm just using that as an example when to do with the peace of the Lord. If I were to ask you what would it be to be in the peace of the Lord, I'm sure that maybe to a person, everyone could come up with, well, what that would be like. And we might add all those together and to say, that's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. So when it comes to being saved, are you saved from your sins? Are you saved for heaven? What are you saved for? What are you saved from? So what does it mean to be sozoed? What does it mean to be saved? This may sound like an odd illustration, but Jason, if I could just have you stand up for a second. Have you ever had anybody look at the way that maybe you might be dressed and whatever, and they would come up to you and kind of go, out of alignment here just a little bit. Let's straighten you up. Ah, that's better.
Thanks, Esther.
Yeah. Stuff that off there. That didn't really help. No, go ahead and sit down. My wife has never done that to me. My wife has never looked at me and said, how did you get that on your shirt? And it's like, I really worked at it. And she can say, and you've had a lot of practice. But think about somebody coming up and just kind of straightening you up a little bit. You know, like doing a little of this. You know, straighten you up, just dusting you off and kind of go, you're good. It might sound like a simple thing, but the Lord is so intimately involved with every part of our life. He's constantly taking care of us. Constantly saying, let me just adjust that a little bit. Is that better? Ah, you look so good. You're so amazing. So go out and play. So what does it mean to be saved? Jesus came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And maybe for some of you, depending upon your background, you might even be able to target a particular moment in your history to say, this particular day at this particular place is when I was saved. That's when I asked Jesus to come into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. And I recall that moment. That was the moment I was saved. For others of you, that may almost sound a bit foreign because you don't think of it in those terms. You might look at it and say, it seems like I've always been aware of the Lord, and so I don't know that there's a particular moment in time that highlights other moments. I've just been aware of His presence in my life. Both are valid. So when we look at that notion of being saved, of being rescued, to be sozoed means that you are completely put back together perfectly, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, relationally, physically. See, when the Lord begins a good work in us, He does not complete it until it is done. That which He starts, He completes. It says in the book of Hebrews, both in chapter 7 and chapter 9, about how the Lord is constantly interceding for us. And at one point it says that the Lord saves us to the uttermost. He saves us to the uttermost. As much as you can be saved, as much as it's possible for you to be saved, as much as you might infinitely consider what that might even look like, what that might even feel like, He does that to the uttermost. He does it to the uttermost. He saves us completely, totally, utterly, absolutely. And there may have been a beginning when we can recall, well, that's when I was saved. But what if that process of being saved is continuing to be manifested in your life deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper? And it is exposing things that all of a sudden you might think, I didn't even know that was there. Could be a hurt, could be a memory, and the Lord can say, it's time now to let that go. It's been hidden. And it's time to expose that to the light of my love so that I can set that free, because he comes about to set us free. So to be saved is to receive revelation, is to receive liberation, and is to receive covenant. The other way of saying that is to receive the truth, which leads to freedom, which leads to love. That's what Jesus does over and over. Jesus will say, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I know you've heard me say this numerous times, and then he says the most amazing thing. He says, when the Son of Man sets you free, you will be free indeed. See, it's not an idea that sets you free. It's not a concept. It's not a rule. It's a person. The person of Jesus. It's him, and he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one who sets us free. And he sets us free because he gives us the truth. And the truth sets us free. And what does that lead to? Intimacy. See, the Lord's always calling us into that place of intimacy. He's always calling us into that place of intimacy, that we begin to realize what it means to be loved and what it means to love, what it means to walk in the fullness of that, what it really means to be saved, what it means to be so totally put back together that at some point in time you might look at yourself in the mirror and say, my Lord, what happened to me? And all of a sudden, maybe some of the struggles that you've had, they seem to be a little bit less, and then maybe another struggle begins to emerge. Remember my sharing with you the great insight of St. John of the Cross, one of the Spanish mystics, when he talked about the dark night of the soul, which is a misnomer, by the way. It's absolutely the opposite. Remember my sharing with you the fact that the illustration that was made back in that time in the 1500s, we'd probably come up with much better illustrations today, but would be like if you were to walk out into the day, let's say around noontime, and look up at the sun. If you looked up at the sun, what would that do to you? I mean, if you look up at the sun, it's so bright, it blinds you, right? I don't mean literally blinding you. I suppose if you stood there and looked at it long enough. But if you look up at the sun, it's like, ah, that's bright. It hurts my eyes. See, the dark night of the soul is you are not in any way out of God's presence. You're right in the midst of it. And his love is so profound that you can't see it, but you're engulfed by it. It's surrounding you, but you just don't have the capacity to see it, because there's still more of that process of being saved that needs to be incorporated. To be able to know what it means to be free, what it means to be loved, and what it means to actually look at someone else and have the kind of love for them that the Lord has for you. Because remember, Jesus never said, love one another. What he said is, love one another as I have loved you. That's a game changer. That's an absolute game changer. It's not love one another. It's love one another as I have loved you. And see, to the extent that we're able to more and more know what it means to have been loved by him is to the extent that we can understand how it is that he wants to love someone else through us in the love that he has revealed to us. So, again, back to that whole notion of what does it mean to be saved? And as I said, to take that out for a spin and to spend time with that and to know that the Lord is completing this good work that he's begun. And he's completing this good work that he's begun and he's completing this good work that he's begun. And it's not about us striving to somehow be better at what it is that he's doing. In other words, if I don't lose you here, it's not about us telling him how to fix us. You ever looked at somebody and kind of thought, I think I know how to fix you. I've got my little toolbox here. You know, I've got a screwdriver, a crescent wrench. I got a big hammer. You know, I can just tweak you a little bit here, tweak you a little bit there. Got a little bit of oil, and I got a bunch of sandpaper. You know?
It's called parenting.
We'll leave that one alone. See, we can't improve on what the Lord's already doing. It's resting in it and letting Him do that. I don't know why I'm focused on John of the Cross, but John of the Cross also said, he said, you know, we can do things to try to draw closer to the Lord, but they pale so much in importance and in the ability to really change anything apart from what He does in the soul directly. It's what He does directly. And part of that is trusting in that process that He's doing, that He's changing. So I want you to think about any and all of you who have been baptized. Did you know that baptism is still at work in you? It's still at work in you because there's a work that needs to be completed. See, when Jean-Claude's about ready to be baptized, he is going to be entering in to a fullness of life that in many ways he's already been walking out for several decades. But there is a way of receiving that grace that in such a way is a bit of a mystery to us that he shares now fully into the kingly, priestly, prophetic ministry of Christ. And see, for any of us to walk around and to say, so I'm a king, I'm a priest, I'm a prophet, Are you serious? Yes, because you're in Christ. You're seated in Him. You're hidden in Him. That's who you are. That's your identity. How do I incorporate that more? Just to talk about being saved, how do I incorporate more? What does it really mean to be a king? What does it mean to be a priest? What does it mean to be a prophet? What does it mean to start taking these things out for a spin to say I'm saved because now I'm hidden in Him? I'm seated in Him. I'm complete in Him. And He's doing all of this, releasing all of this. How much further and deeper can we go? It says in Colossians that in the Lord is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All of them, not just some of them. All of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ, and you're in Him. And you're His treasure. You're His treasure. And He loves to just kind of, you look perfect. Oh, I love you so. It's pretty cool. So because I am conscious of time, let me just share this one last thing with you in regard to one of the other readings, and then hopefully I'll have a little bit of time to come back to some of the gospel. Because there's another aspect of the whole baptismal thing that we have the opportunity of making this recommitment, if you like, along with Jean-Claude, who's making that statement. And I want you to think of it in the context of what happened in the first reading. When Elijah is sent to Elisha to put his mantle on him. And remembering all the stuff that's already happened with Elijah the last couple of chapters. And you have Elisha, who is has these two oxen, and there's 12 sets. Okay, he has these two oxen, and he's plowing, and Elijah comes up, and he puts the mantle on him. And then he walks away, and Elisha says, can I go home and say goodbye to my folks? And Elijah says, basically, what is that to do with me? Okay. Why do you think he said that? Do you know what I'm referring to? Go back again, for what have I done to you? So here you have Elisha doing this, Elijah comes along, puts upon his mantle, and Elisha looks at him and says, can I go home and say farewell to the people back home? And Elijah says, go along. What does that have to do with me? Should I tell you? No. Think about that. Think about what's really going on there about Elisha asking Elijah something, and Elijah says, what does that have to do with me? And then Elijah goes away. Elisha goes home, does what he does. And you just think about that for a moment. Why it was that Elijah did that and then said that. Just let that percolate in your head a little bit. About what it is that's going on. I just hate it when people do stuff like that. So Jean-Claude, would you actually, if we get that baptismal thing up there, so, Deacon Dan and Jean-Claude, you guys want to come up here? So, Deacon Dan, you're first, where it says right there.
I present Jean-Claude Walker to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Okay. So this is, these questions are directed to Jean-Claude, but we all participate in this. And so if we go down to the next, so do you desire to be baptized?
I do.
Okay. So go down to the next, Gary. Keep going. Whoop. So, do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God?
I renounce
him. Oh, see, that's for all of you. So let's try that again. See, this is a renewal that you get to do too, because basically, if you think about that, this was either said for you if you were baptized as an infant, or you said this yourself at some point in your life, or something similar to it. That's the presumption. Okay? So if I could invite you to stand. So do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God?
I renounce them.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior?
I do.
Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love?
I do.
Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord?
I do.
And so this is for all of us again. Will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support Jean-Claude in his life in Christ?
We will.
So now let us together renew our baptismal covenant. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers?
I will with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will with God's help.
Okay, this is the part that we don't do. So if you want to keep going, keep going. Right there. Grant, O Lord, that all who are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, your Son, may live in the power of his resurrection, and look for him to come again in glory, who lives and reigns now and forever. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Jefferson County water. And this water here is water from the Jordan River. River in which Christ was baptized.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water. Over it, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it, you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In it, your Son, Jesus, received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. Now sanctify this water, we pray you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that Jean-Claude may receive the full blessing of your covenant and forever remain in the faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. So before I actually do the baptism of Jean-Claude, and I just wanted to say a couple of things very briefly theologically. And when I'm saying it theologically, that's a reflection of the church and the scriptures. In the East, in other words, Eastern expression of Christianity, you are born without something. In the West, you're born with something. In the East, you're born without sanctifying grace. In the West, you're born with original sin. Okay? So we can look at that and say that all has to do with the reality of fallen nature. But whether you look at it and say when you were born without something, or that you were born with something, what baptism does is remove all of that. And theologically, what says is what gets infused into the soul is those theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. It's inserted into you. So you become a new creation in Christ. You may still look the same, feel the same, taste the same, sound the same, but you are absolutely, completely, totally made different at that moment. It's a mystery that is beyond our ability to find words to express, but it is what it is, what it is, because that's what Jesus said. The other thing that happens for this young man is the very thing that happened in our baptism, whether you were baptized as an infant or whether you were baptized as an adult, and that's the importance of that renewal of that, is that assurance that if there's ever anything that Jean-Claude is sorry for having done, anything, if there's anything that's been done to him that he has interpreted or embraced it in such a way that has created harm, all of that gets washed away. All of that that's been there gets washed away. That's the reality of the water, because what happens in this, and I know that in the Baptist tradition is you get dunked. And I've done baptisms in rivers, and I've done baptisms where you get completely dunked. It's not about the amount of water, even though that can be a more powerful way of looking at it. But what happens for all of us and for this wonderful young man is you're about to watch him die and then rise. Amen. And that's the same thing that happened to you. You died. You died. And your life was now hidden. You are now seated, saved, complete, and needing to appropriate the fullness of that. It's a wonder. It's amazing how simple God wants to make it for us. We don't have a bunch of hoops to jump through. We just have to say, count me in, man. I'm in. I'm in. And you renew that for yourself and pray for the fullness of that to be experienced in him. And truly becomes a brother in the Lord, like never before, closer to you than some of you to your own biological relations. It's an incredible mystery. Amen. So, my dear brother, are you ready? So I give you a choice. You can look that way or you can look that way.
Okay.
So Jean-Claude, you just want to lean over so I can pour it across your head. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So let us pray. Jean-Claude, I receive you into the congregation of Christ's flock and sign you with the sign of the cross. In token that hereafter you will not be ashamed to confess the faith of Christ crucified, and with courage and resolve to fight under his banner against sin, the world, and the devil, and to continue as Christ's faithful soldier and servant to your life's end.
Amen.
And though you don't have a white garment on, you are literally clothed in a white garment because of it being a new creation in Christ. Jean-Claude, you have become a new creation and clothe yourself in Christ. See in this white garment the outward sign of your Christian dignity. And with your family and friends to help you by word and example, bring that dignity unstained into the everlasting life of heaven. And Jean-Claude, receive the light of Christ as a sign that you have passed from darkness into light. Shine as his light in the world to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So that's something to keep, and is always a reminder that you look at that, recall this moment and this day. Let's welcome a new brother in Christ. So if I could just ask for any of you who feel so led to do that, you don't have to. If you'd just like to come up and gather around Jean-Claude real quick, and if we just pray for him, if anybody has a word, I know that Deacon Robert already had a word, but you can just pray for him real quick. Jean-Claude, one of the things that I want to say to you is when Jesus says, I have come not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. I was so drawn today to John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus says in John 10, 10, that the enemy comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus has come so that we might have life and life in abundance. Thank you. Jesus, go ahead.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise to you, Jesus. And as one of the songs that was proclaimed today in our worship, that the Lord says to us that every one of his promises are yes and amen. So he calls us to dream big. He calls us to put our life in his hands, and he says he will take on us on a journey, on an adventure that we cannot even begin to imagine. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Thank you, Jesus.
Day that gentle, kind heart has grown larger. You know, the Lord has today also put a sword in your hand. He's also called you to a different place. With that gentle, kind heart will come a courage to fight against the forces of evil. You are now a warrior in the kingdom of God with a great sword to wield in his behalf.
Thank you, Jesus.
I do not know everything that he's spoken to me in his life. Anything that does not follow.
You have a sweet heart. Tender, loving heart. You also now go with authority to live life, to be a strong man wherever you go, wherever you go.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Some caught a consider a traditional religious painting of Jesus being baptized in the Jordan River and the Holy Spirit like a dove descending upon him with light beams coming out of the dove onto Jesus. I believe that the Lord's going to give you, or has given you, a new light. And that's going to result in a clear vision for how you lead your life and the decisions that you make and the things that you do and a new life coming to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Jean-Claude, as you receive the Eucharist for the first time today, that in receiving the body and blood of the Lord, the two become one flesh. For you are united in Christ in a way unimaginable. And may the revelation of that reality go so deep within you that you will know how precious and how loved you are. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Walk out in new power and be able to be the warrior that God has called you to. And to wield that sword with ease.
Thank you, Jesus.
Along with what Dr. King said, once in a while I come across someone and there's a term that applies to them, but it's not a lot of us, but you're one of those people, a happy warrior.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I see the Lord stirring you in our new ways, just on the inside. And not just the joy of this incredible day, but things that are going to be stirred up in you for the rest of your life, and not to be held inside, but they're going to come out of you in new ways. There's going to be some new creativity, some new answers. Things that you haven't thought of before or even walked in before are going to come easy to you.
Amen.
And they're going to surprise you in a delightful way.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise be God. For the Son of our love, for He will be done and He shall come back. Hallelujah, God of glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, God of glory. Revive us again.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let's offer one another a sign of Christ's peace.
You're a great weaver.